Paul Carr is our next guest. Paul's a professor in popular music analysis at the University of South Wales. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Jim. Nice to meet you.
Nice to talk to you. And, of course, England are still in. That's the main thing from your, well, you're in Wales, but that's the main thing from your island at the moment. That's the important thing this time.
Yeah, the English part of the UK will be celebrating widely. Yeah, big celebrations.
You're obviously a bit of a football fan and knowledgeable. What do you think of England's chances from here on in?
The first World Cup I remember was the 1971, when they were beating Germany 2-0 and they lost 3-2. And since then, that narrative has had a scary tendency to keep on repeating itself. So, you know, it's always very close, but not quite close enough. So, yeah, from my point of view, I always have a degree of I'm slightly pessimistic, I suppose, because they tend to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. But let's see what happens.
Yes. What makes a good football anthem is what we're talking to you about. And I suppose that's the first question. What does?
I think, you know, probably the first thing I would say is it needs to have a simple melody that fans can sing. I think secondly, when I look back at some of the anthems, I'm thinking of the Three Lions anthem in England in particular, which came out in 1990. Yeah. You know, it's coming home, that one. They've got the potential to capture the zeitgeist, I think, the spirit of the age. But I think possibly the biggest aspect of an anthem is the potential for it to evoke patriotism. So I'm thinking, you know, the All Blacks rendition of, God Defend New Zealand as an example, or here in Wales, Land of My Fathers. They're incredibly patriotic anthems that even if you don't support the teams, they have the capacity to make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up.
Yes, the danger is that England may have played their final, and that happens to a lot of sports teams, and they do have such a tradition of falling at the last hurdle. And this is captured by that Three Lions song, that kind of jaded cynicism, but also hope. New Zealand, as you say, has the national anthem and the haka associated with rugby. We're a bit different from the US and the UK. I mean, the US have all sorts of songs they play at the big sports events. The UK has got a big selection, hasn't it? From Swing Low, Sweet Chariot to Jerusalem to You'll Never Walk Alone. What's your favourite? What's the most stirring for you?
Let me just say that I think the haka is one of the most incredible phenomena I've ever seen. I've seen them in New Zealand and, in a local environment, and they're a phenomena that I've never experienced before. But in terms of my favourite anthem, I would probably go back to You'll Never Walk Alone, which most people associate that song with Jerry and the Pacemakers, who released it in 1963. And most people would associate that song with Liverpool. And I think it became particularly cemented to Liverpool Football Club in the aftermath of the Heysel disaster. But also, I think that was in 1985, but also the Hillsborough disaster a few years later in 1989, where that song sort of was a backdrop to the just so much sadness which was going on. That particular song was written in 1945. It was a Tin Pan Alley song written in America for the movie industry. But I think what's particularly interesting about it is the song was also appropriated by Celtic in Scotland and also Borussia Dortmund in Germany. And in actual fact, it's not widely known, but in the aftermath of the Munich air crash in 1958, Manchester United fans actually were the first team, as far as I'm aware, to use that anthem in the aftermath of that disaster. So I think what it says about the song is there's obviously something in the lyric that enables the football supporter to inhabit it. So I think out of all the football anthems, that one has a particular power that I've not really come across before.
I didn't know that Man U fans took it up after that air crash they were involved in. You know, tragedy has always been associated with that song, because in the movie Carousel, it's sung to a grieving widow after her husband stabs himself with a knife during a robbery. But it has acquired, so it always has that association, doesn't it? But it's acquired a mighty grandeur over the years, hasn't it?
It has. Just those words on their own, you'll never walk alone. You know, they sort of say everything, that, you know, we'll walk through the storm of adversity, regardless what happens to us. We will be stoic and we will continue. And of course, it is sung on the terraces every week as well.
We're talking with Professor Paul Carr. Commercial considerations in sport are always paramount, and maybe they have been for longer than we'd like to admit. Because you say the songs don't always come from the terraces by any means.
Absolutely. I mean, at the moment, you know, the U2 anthem, which is the official FIFA song at the moment.
Yeah, what do you think of Bono singing "We Are the People We've Been Waiting For" in that song? I mean, it's a bit reminiscent of Barack Obama's election slogan back in 2008, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." Did it stir your blood, or did you just think, oh, then hang on, this has just been rolled out?
Well, if we sort of put it alongside the back catalogue of some of U2's greatest hits, I wouldn't say it would be positioned very highly, I would say. It's not one of the songs that, you know, will go down in history as one of their greatest compositions. I didn't make the connection with the Barack Obama phrase, to be honest. It actually reminds me of a piece of contemporary Christian worship music, and by a band such as Hillsong.
Oh, okay.
And interestingly enough, I know that Bono is a Christian, so I'm wondering if he got some of the melodic ideas from there.
Perhaps he's running to be president of the world, Bono. That could be the opening gambit.
He probably did very well. In America, you know, you've got Arnie and Ronald Reagan. Why not Bono?
Bono versus Boris. Is it still possible, Paul, is it still possible in this mercantile sort of age to have a song that will appear and unite? I suppose it always is.
Yeah, I think that's one of the universals. I think the great enigma of that is that, yes, the answer to that is most certainly yes. But if record labels and composers knew what that was, they would do it. I think what it is, it's a mixture of the right music at the right time. And the combination of those two things are what make, you know, give the anthem that sort of magic. But I don't think you can compose that. It needs to be a mixture of the composition and the event, whatever happens at that time. And I think if the two things come together, you can get something really powerful.
Great to talk to you. Good luck, England, from your point of view. And nice that they've made it this far. Thank you very much for talking to us.
It's a great pleasure, Jim. Thank you very much.
Professor Paul Carr.